hey, we got some good stuff coming up. We got our Spooktacular coming up here soon. It is now October the 10th. I think on the 29th, we're going to be gathering up here for what we call our Spooktacular. If you don't know what our Spooktacular is, it is a community event that we host here at the Crossings every year where we build a bunch of pretty elaborate sets. And when I say sets, I mean they're themed sets. Like I think my group is doing like Cruella de Vil. We've got another one we're doing for the Cardinals. And we build these things where we have costume characters and backdrops. And the community can come through and bring their families with their kids dressed in their Halloween costumes or whatever. And they come get candy and we get to interact with them and have some fun. And it's a great way for us to make friends. We've had a lot of people that have gotten connected to the church here just because they met us at an event like that. And they got to know some of our members and, people got their phone number and maybe went and hung out with them later. And we've made some really good connections that way. But we usually have several hundred people that come to that thing. So I want to encourage you, be inviting your friends, be inviting your family, especially if you got kids that are into trick-or-treating, that enjoy stuff like that. Plan on being up here on the 29th because that's going to be a big event for us. And then that following Sunday, on November the 7th, we're going to have our annual chili cook-off here at the Crossings. You can come and try to compete with my chili. But I'm the champ, just so you guys know. Now, we are going to have a chili contest, so if you like to cook and would like to come up here and maybe throw down with that, we're going to be having church service on the 7th, just like we normally would. Then right after that, we're going to be enjoying some fine chili together. And I think we'll probably have traditional and maybe non-traditional. We'll give you more details about that. But that's going to be another cool thing to invite people to. Jake did a good job last week starting off our new sermon series. We're in a series here at the Crossings called If Animals Could Talk. And the idea behind this series is that we can look into nature and we can find lessons about God in the natural world. This is actually something that is said in the Bible. In the book of Romans in chapter 1, Paul tells the people that he's writing to that if we look in nature, if we look at the natural world, we will see how it is apparent that God is there. If we look into what God has created, we can find divine lessons in the created world. And so we just have to look and observe. Solomon is a character in the Bible that I am fascinated with. He's called the wisest man who ever lived, besides Jesus, of course. Solomon is known for, looking into nature and finding lessons. A lot of the Proverbs that you read were written by him. And it's obvious that he spent a lot of time looking at stuff in the outdoor world, looking at stuff in creation. And I myself am one that enjoys the outdoors. I grew up going hunting with my dad since I was 3 years old. The first time we killed a deer, which if that's offensive to you, I'm sorry, we eat meat around here. The first time we killed a deer, I was 3 years old with my dad. I just grew up that way. And so I have always enjoyed going out in nature. And some of my best times with God have been out in the middle of a forest with my journal and my Bible while I'm waiting on something to walk by that I can eat later. And so I really enjoy that kind of thing. And we're going to be looking today, though, at a really, really cool animal that we can learn from. That is the eagle. It says in Isaiah 40, verse 31, those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. And so here, Isaiah, one of the chief prophets in the Bible, compares those who trust in God to those who can fly like eagles. Eagles are really, really, really majestic and cool animals. There's all kinds of things we could talk about as it relates to them. Did you guys know there's like 60 species of eagle in the world? Did you know that? I didn't know that. Did you know that eagles, certain species, can live up to 70 years? Did you know that? I didn't know that. Did you know that when an eagle picks a mate, it keeps that same mate for its entire life? I didn't know that. I knew geese did that, and I knew geese were mean. But I didn't know they did that. And that's also why eagles' nests are humongous. Like, you can, if you see an eagle's nest, it's like, wow, that's obvious what that is. It's an eagle nest. They build the biggest nests of any species of bird on earth because they pick a mate for life, and then they go to the same place every year when it's time for breeding. They go to the same spot, they use the same nest, and they build up onto it over time. We've found eagles' nests that are 9 foot wide and 18 foot deep. Like, we found eagles' nests that are big, that weigh 2,000 pounds. You know, a nest, a bird's nest, that weighs one ton. We have found, and big enough for you to get your whole family in there, right? It's crazy. We also have observed the behavior of eagles that is just out of this world. Did you guys know whenever a storm comes? You know, we got some cool storms around here sometimes. Anybody in here like watching the storms when they roll in? Whenever the tornado sirens go off and you're supposed to go in the basement, you go outside. Are you one of those? Okay, that's me too. Probably not the smartest thing in the world, but I'm like that. Well, whenever an eagle hears those tornado sirens, did you know what an eagle can do? It can fly above the storm. They can soar so high that they can go actually above the clouds and just kind of look down and like, oh, that stinks for those guys because they're above it, right? It's crazy. They can fly higher than anything else that God has created. They see more colors than we can see. You know, like we see the spectrum of three colors, like red and blue and green. They can see five. And so where you and I, like, we'll be looking in the forest and looking at the floor or whatever, we can't see that little creature that's camouflaged. Well, the eagle does because it sees more colors than we do. And so not only that, they can see from way, way far away. So they're able to go down and pick that thing off and eat it. We can't even see it, right? Their talons are so strong that if an eagle, a 14-pound eagle, got a hold of, you guys know who Dwayne Johnson is, The Rock, right? He's a big boy. If an eagle got a hold of Dwayne Johnson's arm, it could squeeze it strongly enough to break his arm. Did you know that they were that strong? I mean, crazy. God created these things, and he put them into the world. And as many interesting things as we could talk about related to eagles this morning, I want to focus in on how we can soar like an eagle this morning. Like it says in the book of Isaiah, those who trust in the Lord, they will soar on wings like eagles. I want us to ask the question today, how can we learn to soar in life like an eagle? How can we learn to live in such a way where we're above the storms, where we're above the clouds, where we're able to deal with things? And if you want to soar, there's some stages of learning that you've got to go through in order to be able to do that. So here's five stages of learning to soar like an eagle. You got some notes in your bulletin. If you want to pull those out, it's going to have most of the scriptures we're going to look at this morning, and we're just going to kind of follow this theme. And if you want to take a note, we encourage you to. First passage I want to look at is Deuteronomy 32. Now, Deuteronomy 32 is part of a sermon preached by Moses. Moses was preaching this to the Israelite people toward the end of Moses' life. This is kind of the capstone. Like, he's given them everything he has to share in a pretty long sermon in Deuteronomy. It was preached over the course of about 2 days. But in chapter 32, he's comparing God's action in the life of the Israelites to like a mother eagle taking care of a baby eagle. He says, in a desert land, he found him. It's saying God found him, Israel, the Israelites, in a desert land, in a barren land, a howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye, like an eagle that stirs up his nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them aloft. Okay, he's comparing God here to a mother eagle taking care of a mother eagle taking care of its baby. He's saying God is like that with his people. Now, whenever he found the Israelites, they were in Egyptian captivity. And that's what he's referring to. Whenever the story of Moses starts, he's referring to that captivity. Listen, have you ever felt like life is so tough you just can't move forward? Have you ever been in a situation where you just can't see a way out? That's how they felt whenever they were slaves in Egypt. They had to get up every day. They had to work for somebody to do something they didn't want to do. They were mistreated. They were beaten. They were pushed down. They weren't listened to. And all they could do is pray and cry out to God for deliverance because they couldn't see a very good future moving forward for them. And Moses says, like, an eagle takes care of a baby. God came in and he swooped in and he started taking care of them. When God found you, where were you? When God found you, where were you? It's important that we remember where we've been and where God has brought us as we move forward in life, where we remember his faithfulness. We remember that his protection and his care is there for us. It's important that we remember that because when we remember how good God is and how much he cares and how much he loves us, it becomes that much easier to put faith in him, right? And if you want to soar, you got to put your faith in the right place. And there's five stages that we've got to go through if we're going to soar. The first stage that we've got to embrace is if I'm going to soar, I must embrace first the demonstration stage. The demonstration stage. All I mean by that is I need somebody to help me. If I'm going to soar like an eagle, if I'm spiritually going to get to a point where I am soaring like an eagle, I'm not going to get there on my own. I need help. It says in Deuteronomy 32:11, like an eagle that hovers over its young. Picture that eagle, that mother eagle, just hovering over that baby. She's there to take care of that baby. She's there to show that baby how to be an eagle, how to soar, how to fly. And in the demonstration stage, I need an example. And what the mother eagle does with the baby is if you go watch their behavior, it'll plop on that nest. And that mother eagle will spread out those wings, you know, 8-foot wingspan, and it'll flap its wings, and it's showing that baby, hey, you have these too. You've got these too. Bust these bad boys out and flap them around. Show me what you got, right? And she'll keep doing that until the baby kind of catches on and starts mimicking the behavior of the mother. She sets an example for it. Now, if she didn't set an example for that little guy or that little girl, is it going to figure it out? Maybe. Okay, but it's going to be that much harder. And so what a blessing. She sets an example. You and I are the same way. When it comes to developing spiritually, there are examples that we have that God has put in our life. Now, you can choose to follow a good example, or you can choose to follow a bad example. Regardless, you have examples in your life. You guys get that, right? You have a choice. And what a wise person will do is a wise person will look to the good examples in their life. And how do you evaluate whether it's a good example or not? Well, you need to look at the fruit of somebody's life. Is this person the kind of husband or wife that you want to be like? Does this person raise children? Is the fruit, like the way their kids are turning out, do you want your kids to turn out that way? The way this person handles their finances or material wealth, do you want your life to turn out that way? The way this person is connected to the Lord, do you want to have a life like that? Are you going to be, you need to use some wisdom in choosing that. And you need to find somebody that you can look up to, that you can imitate. And there's different sources for this, okay? First, you can find examples in Christ's Word. I can find the examples I need in Christ's Word. It says in James 5:10, remember the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Take them as examples of endurance under suffering. Here James is saying, look back to the Old Testament prophets. Look at the way they handled things. There are several places where we're told to look back into the Bible. 1 Corinthians, Romans. We are explicitly told by the writers of the Bible that, hey, the reason the Bible was written was to give you an example of how to live or how not to live. You know, you want to know what a wise person can do? They can look at the lives of others and learn from them. They can look at the mistakes of others and learn from them and not have to make those same mistakes. Okay? Looking back on my life, I was not a wise person. I saw the mistakes of others, and instead of learning from that, I went and made the same mistakes a lot of the times, and I learned from getting smacked on the head. Some of you in here might be the same way. I don't recommend that. It's a lot less traumatic just to be able to learn the way wisdom teaches us to learn, right? You can learn from the good examples or the bad examples. We can learn from the examples we find in God's Word. How important is it to be in God's Word? Man, it's super important. We need to be in there and we need to be learning. Secondly, I find the examples I need in Christ's church. Not on your notes, but 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul writes to a church in Corinth. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Saying, hey, follow my example as long as I'm following the example of Jesus. Wherever you see Jesus in me, you do that. Okay? On your notes, Hebrews 13:7, don't forget the example of your spiritual leaders and follow their walk of faith. This right here says, look to the people that you look up to spiritually in your life and follow their example. Guys, that's part of the function of the church. Is the church is meant to connect you with people that are further down the road in their walk with Jesus than you are so that you can learn from them. We call that discipling. Okay, you're going to have people that are going to set an example for you. You're also going to have people that are going to coach you along the way. They're going to correct you, that are going to encourage you, but that connection is there. That's part of the function of the church. Big part of it, okay? Thirdly, I find my perfect example in Christ. I find my perfect example in Christ. It says in John 13:15, I, Jesus, am your what? I says, I am your example. Keep doing what I do. Jesus is the perfect example for us to follow in every way. He shows us how to do everything we need to do, how to relate, how to think, how to treat people, how to deal with conflict, how to love our enemies, how to deal with rejection. We get examples of everything in Jesus that we need. Secondly, if I'm going to soar, I must embrace the discipline stage. I must embrace the discipline stage. It says in Deuteronomy 32:11, like an eagle that stirs up its nest. Okay, now, you look at that, if you don't know what this is referring to, like, oh, it stirs up its nest. It cleans it up. It freshens it up. That's not what this means, okay? Whenever this says that it stirs up the nest, sometimes baby eagles don't want to leave the nest. And so what the mother eagle will do is the mother eagle will go up to that nest, and if that baby eagle has gotten to the point where it should be about ready to fly, you know, the mother's flapped its wings, it showed it the example, it's fed it, it's helped it grow to a certain point, they intrinsically know when their babies are large enough where they should now be leaving the nest and going to fly. That mother eagle knows that baby needs to be an eagle, needs to soar. It doesn't want to leave the nest, so what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to stir the nest up. What that really means is I'm going to dismantle the nest underneath where this baby is and make it fall. Did you guys know that eagles do that? If the eagle, the baby, does not want to leave the nest, the mother will come and, oh, well, this stick needs to go. No, this one over here needs to go. And pretty soon that baby's like, whoa, what's going on here? Can you imagine if Dr. Phil was interviewing one of these baby eagles? Did you know what my mom did to me? We're 500 feet up in the air, and I'm comfortable in the nest. And then she started taking it apart underneath me, and I fell. Dr. Phil, what kind of mother would do that? Right? Can you imagine that? That's what this mama eagle will do. It will take that nest apart until that baby falls out. And guess what that baby's going to have to do as it's falling in the air? Well, it needs to start flapping its wings. Or it needs to at least hold them out like this so it can catch itself, right? But you want to know what else? If that baby doesn't start flapping, guess what? That mama's going to swoop down and grab it. We'll talk more about that in a second. It's not just going to let it die, right? But can you imagine for a baby that doesn't want to leave the nest how that must feel to the baby? Do you think that would feel good to get pushed out of your nest 500 feet up in the air when you've never flown before? It's not going to feel good. But the mother understands the baby is not meant to live in the nest. That baby eagle is designed to fly. And that mother eagle knows her role is to help that baby fly. And she's going to help that baby fly even if the baby doesn't want to fly. Because that's what the loving mother does. Right? They're designed by God to do that. Did you guys know God does the same thing with us? We call this discipline. We don't like it. It doesn't feel good. But what we need when we're in the discipline stage, when I'm in the discipline stage, I need understanding. I need understanding. The baby who doesn't want to leave the nest is happy staying where it's comfortable because it doesn't understand yet the life that it's meant to live. It's just happy being in the nest. Okay? It says in Proverbs 13:24, and this is just an example, guys. Parent, by the way, the Bible teaches parents who love their kids will, quote unquote, stir up the nest in order to help their kids develop. They will stir up the nest. In fact, I'll just read it. This is from the NIV. It says, whoever spares the rod, whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. I like the way Eugene Peterson puts this in the Message. He says, a refusal to correct is a refusal to love. Love your children by disciplining them. Guys, what happens to a kid who never gets disciplined as a child or who isn't disciplined well as a child? They grow up to be dysfunctional adults. And it's the same way with a baby eagle who isn't disciplined, who doesn't have the nest stirred up. They don't grow up to be eagles who soar. They stay in the nest. And we see this frequently in working with families. I have over the years, I've been doing this a long time, and I'm an addict too. If you don't know, I grew up in a household where my parents did some things right, but on some other levels, we were pretty dysfunctional. And I look back at my own life, and you know, my parents put up with my crap way longer than they should have. When it came to my addictions and stuff, my dad continued giving me a place to live. He gave me a car to drive. He would give me money from time to time when I was just taking that money and blowing it on drugs. And it wasn't until I got cut off from that where I was no longer enabled and I was allowed to hit rock bottom that I started thinking maybe I should do things a little differently. But guys, as long as you don't discipline, as long as you as a parent are more worried about your kid being uncomfortable than you are their development, that kid's not going to develop. If you're running in there to rescue them every time, like, oh, we got to keep them from hurting. And guys, and I get it. Like, as parents, do you like watching your kids hurt? No. No, the loving parent's just like, oh, I'm glad they're hurting now. No, nobody likes that. That's an abusive parent, right? But you want to help them. And sometimes you've got to develop wisdom to the point where you can see past the immediate pain to their future development. And that it takes some wisdom. It takes some help. Again, that's part of why, as parents, we need other parents that have been down this road before and do it well. We need coaching. We need to be humble. We need to be open. Because if we're not careful, we can enable in a situation where it's going to harm the kid. Just like if the baby eagle never stirred up the nest, never dismantled the nest, never forced the baby eagle out, if the mother eagle never forced the baby eagle out, that eagle would stay in the nest. Guys, if that eagle stays in the nest, what's ultimately going to happen to that eagle? It's going to die. That's ultimately what's going to happen. It's going to die. It's not going to be functional. It's not going to be able to take care of itself. It's got to stir it up. And we don't see this dilemma of should I do this or not in the animal kingdom when it comes to developing kids. We don't see them. We don't see the mother like, oh, I hope he still likes me after this. We don't see that. We need to take the lesson from the Lord, guys, because God is the same way with us. We get disciplined by God from time to time. Does anybody in here like it when life is terrible? But there are certain situations in life where God is disciplining us. You know, and I think like my wife left me because I'm horrible to her. Or I lost 3 jobs in a row because I can't get along with anybody that I work with. Or my kids can't stand me because of the way I treated them growing up. Or I don't have any real close friends because I keep everybody at a distance. Now I'm super lonely. Like, we got all these situations that we can find ourselves in where life is really hard. We need to look sometimes at those situations as discipline, because that's what they are. God lets us reap the consequences of our behavior or our way of thinking or our way of treating people or our way of treating Him or our lack of spirituality or whatever it might be. We need to embrace that as God's discipline. But the thing is, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good. It's counterintuitive. But look at what this says in Hebrews 12. It says, "Have you forgotten His encouraging words? He said, 'My child, don't underestimate the value of the discipline and training of the Lord God, or get depressed when He has to correct you.'" Fully embrace God's correction as part of your training, for He is doing what any loving father does for his children. For who's ever heard of a child who never had to be corrected? Circle that phrase, fully embrace. And I just want you to think about that. When you have been challenged, when somebody godly has challenged you, or when life has thrown a curveball where you are just in it and you're not liking what you're in, have you fully embraced the lesson that God is teaching you through that? Are you willing to fully embrace that? Because what this text says is when God is disciplining us, when God is the source of that, that is an act of love where God is working in our lives. Guys, if that baby eagle goes out of that nest and doesn't flap its wings, that baby eagle, unless somebody intervenes, is going to be in trouble, right? But the point of going out of that nest, the point of that discipline, the point of being put in that uncomfortable situation, the point of it is so that that eagle will flap its wings and learn to fly. That's the point of it. Whenever you and I are put in an uncomfortable situation by the Lord, the point of that is for us to develop past whatever it is that is hindering us. And God wants us to move forward in our walk and move forward in that maturation process so that we can become more like Jesus. And ultimately, guys, as we become more like Jesus, is life going to be worse or better? It's going to be better. And that's the thing. God is ultimately out for our good, even when He's disciplining us. And those temporary discomforts, guys, are ultimately going to lead to some fruit that we would never get without that discipline. It is an act of love. Thirdly, if I'm going to soar, I must embrace the decision stage. And this is where you just have to ask, do I really want to fly? Do I really want to soar? Is that really what I want in my life? Do I really want to soar like an eagle? Or do I just want to maybe think about it? Do I want to talk about it? Do I want to look at diagrams of how to fly? Do I want to watch a YouTube video about how to fly? Do I want to have a meeting with some other friends and talk about what it would look like if we flew? You know, is that my goal? Or do I want to fly? Do I want to fly? Just a decision. It's a goal. And in the decision stage, I need clarity. I need clarity. It says in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5, when the message we preached came to you, this is Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica, when the message we preached came to you, it wasn't just words. You paid careful attention to the way we lived among you and determined to live that way yourselves. He's saying, you guys made a decision. When we came to you and we started talking with you about how to follow Jesus and how to honor God with your life, you guys had a decision to make. You looked at our lives and you said, do I want to be like those people that are following that God, or do I want to do something else? And you made the decision that you wanted to jump in with both feet and you wanted to make Jesus king of your life and you wanted to start living like that was your reality and making that your reality. That was the decision you guys made. You, if you want to soar like an eagle, you have to have clarity on the path forward. You have to have clarity on what your goal is. Guys, do you want to be like Jesus? Do you want to have a life like Jesus? Do you want to have a character like Jesus? Do you want to think like Jesus? Do you want to treat people like Jesus? Do you want to honor God with your life like Jesus? Do you want to love your enemies like Jesus? Do you want to forgive like Jesus? Do you want to sacrifice like Jesus? You need clarity on this. Do you really want to be a disciple? Do you want to be a disciple of Jesus? You need clarity on this. And here's the thing. Someone must teach me to fly, but no one can fly for me. Paul comes along and says, hey, I'm going to show you how to follow Jesus. I'm going to show you how to do this practically in life. But to the same crowd, he's like, you guys have to make the decision for yourself. You've got to decide, is this what you really want? And it's the same with us, guys. God has put people, if you're here this morning, God has put people in your life that love Jesus and love you and want you to have a great life. And God has put people in your life that can show you imperfectly how to follow Jesus. And I say imperfectly because nobody in this room is nailing it, right? You will know and hopefully find hope in the fact that you're probably going to screw things up too from time to time, right? But what do we do when we screw things up, when we're trying to follow Jesus? Well, we get up, we dust ourselves off, and we try again. And by God's grace, He allows us to do that. And that's life. And you can look at those imperfect people in this room and you could say, yeah, I want to try that too. But those imperfect people that are trying to help you, that love you, cannot make that decision for you. That is your decision. It is a choice. You have to decide, am I going to put in the hard work? Am I going to put in up with the discomfort? Am I going to make the life changes? Am I going to reorient my priorities? Am I going to potentially have to give up some habits or give up maybe even some relationships sometimes that are dragging me down? Am I going to have to change in order to follow Jesus? Guys, change can be hard. I know that. God knows that. Just like dumping a baby eagle out of a nest can make the baby eagle a little uncomfortable. Guys, the mama eagle does not care. And God doesn't either. He does not mind making us uncomfortable because He knows it's ultimately going to be for our good. You need to make a decision, though, because when you decide to follow Jesus, what you are saying is, I am going to embrace that discomfort and that discipline, and I am going to embrace what God is calling me to change in my life in order to do this thing. Guys, that is your choice. Nobody can force that on you. It's your choice. So is that what you want to do? There comes a time when you've got to decide whether you're going to move or not, okay? Fourthly, if I'm going to soar, I must embrace, number four, the deliverance stage. I must embrace the deliverance stage. It says in verse 11, an eagle spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on its feathers, okay? That's referring to the mother eagle after she's pushed the baby out of the nest, swooping down and grabbing that thing when it doesn't fly. Did you guys know they do that? Isn't that cool? So you got the mama eagle up there pushing the baby out, and she's looking like, oh, it ain't working. And she swoops down there. They can fly fast, man. Whenever they jump out and hit a dive, they can go real fast straight down. She will swoop down underneath that dude and catch it. Isn't that crazy? and she will catch it, and she'll carry it back up to the nest, and she'll plop it back down on the edge of that nest, and she may let it sit there for a second, and that baby eagle's like, oh, it's breathing all hard. Oh, man, I can't believe you did this to me, Mama. I can't believe you did this to me, Mama. Do you love me, Mama? I can't believe you do such a thing. And guess what that mama starts doing? She starts pulling them sticks out from under it again. Man, you think God ain't got a sense of humor? He sure does. It's his idea. I'm gonna make these birds do this, okay? She starts pulling them sticks out from under that dude again. And he falls again. Mama! I can't believe you did this! If he doesn't start flapping, guess what she does? She swoops down, she grabs him again, she'll carry him back up, plop him on the edge, let him sit there, catch his breath, maybe. Then she'll start pulling them sticks out again. You want to know how long she'll do that? Till he flies or he dies. Most of them fly, by the way, just to give you a little comfort. Most of them fly. They usually don't drop them. Whose idea was that? Whose idea was that? That's God's idea. He made those eagles. He designed them to function that way because he knew someday Moses is going to be sitting up on a mountain writing the Bible, and he's going to have this idea, you know what? God's kind of like this mother eagle over here. Let me write this down in this book for these people to look at and think about. That's his idea. Sometimes we need to get pushed out that nest. Have you ever been pushed out that nest? I have. But the purpose of getting pushed out of that nest isn't just to hit the ground. The purpose is to be jarred into action that God has designed you to be able to take. It's not hopeless. Man, that eagle's talking to Dr. Phil and complaining about its mama. I can't believe she did this to me. That eagle was designed to fly, just like you were. And whenever God jars us and makes us uncomfortable or we hit rock bottom, man, the point of that experience isn't for God, for us to die. It's for us to be made uncomfortable enough where we turn to the source of light and life, and we change and transform. Did you guys know there's a person that God created you to be? That's one of the exciting things about following God and getting into a relationship with Jesus, is you get to get on a path to becoming who God always meant for you to be. And whenever we're in the world and we've got sin like just weighing us down and we're not living right or we're not thinking right or our priorities are all jacked up, maybe we're all focused on work or school and God's just kind of, you know, not really a thought. And then when you get into a relationship with Him and you realize, man, there's all kinds of things about me that I need to change. As you get on the path to making those changes, what you will learn as you become who God wants you to be is life is so much better when you're on that path. You know, for years, the reason I didn't want to follow God is because I thought my way of living was going to be more fun. Thought I was going to miss out on something if I gave up all this stuff that God says doesn't honor Him. I thought that I could bless me more than God could bless me. But what I have found is when you try to follow Jesus, when you start living that way, man, God can bless you so much more than you can bless yourself. It's not even close. Seriously, it's not even close. That baby eagle that's fallen out of the nest was so comfortable in that nest. Man, it's warm. DoorDash brings me food, right? I just sit here and eat and get fat. This is great. This life is great. This nest is great. I don't even need to move out of this 9-foot wide part. Man, it didn't know what it was missing. When that thing learned to soar, because I encourage you, get on YouTube. So there's some eagle trainers out there. that will put like GoPros on an eagle where you can see like the eagle head while it's soaring over the mountains. Guys, did you know soaring over the mountains is way cooler than sitting in a stank old nest? But you're not going to realize you're not going to realize what you're missing until you get out there and fly. And for some of you this morning, you're just investigating a relationship with God. You have no idea what you're missing until you experience what God has to offer for you. You have no idea. Some of you guys who have been in here, you're struggling in your marriage. You have no idea what marriage is like when two people are genuinely striving to be the people God created them to be. You're struggling in your relationships with your friends or with your kids. You have no idea what you're missing. You haven't soared yet. You have no idea. But once you get a glimpse of it, perspective never goes back. And that's what God wants for you. That's what he wants. And you say, oh, but I'm falling. I'm falling. This doesn't feel good. God's like, I'm going to catch you. Don't worry. I'm going to catch you. And in this deliverance stage, this is what we need. We need trust. We need trust. The thing is, whenever we really genuinely put God first, I know that can be scary because we're having to reorient things. We're having to change our lives. We're having to reorient all kinds of things. That's scary. Change is scary. I get that. God gets that. But what God wants us to learn to do is to trust him. It says in 2 Peter 2:9, so you see the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their trials. He's going to be there to deliver. He's going to be there to rescue. It says in Psalm 34:19, the righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to rescue each time. Every time. Just like that mother eagle pushes the baby out. Man, it's there to catch them. God's like that. Fifthly, if I'm going to soar, I must embrace the duplication stage. I must embrace the duplication stage. This is where I do for another what's been done for me. I do for somebody else what's been done for me. In the kingdom of God, we were never designed to fly so high that we're by ourselves. We were never designed to fly so high that we're disconnected from the people around us that we could help. We weren't designed to do that. We were designed to purposefully bless the lives of those around us just like Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. It means we're trying to be like him. What was he all about? Man, he was always about helping other people, about blessing the lives of other people. He was intentionally involved in the lives of sometimes very difficult people. But he would insert himself in there anyway because he wanted that connection. He wanted that relationship. We need to be the same way. In the duplication stage, I need purpose. I need purpose. It says in Philippians 4:9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Guys, this is what we see with eagles. Those baby eagles eventually become adult eagles, and guess what those adult eagles turn around and do? The same thing. We can observe generations of them exhibiting the same behavior. Even here in the United States, we had, during the 70s, the bald eagle population was less than 500. I don't know if you guys know that. They had been killed and pretty much just almost wiped out here in the U.S., which we've got two species of eagle here. We've got the bald eagle and the golden eagle. But the bald eagles were down below 500. Now they have rebounded because of reproduction and the duplication of this behavior that we see. And also, we protect them here, of course, now. We don't allow them. But that allowed them to reproduce and to duplicate. And so this behavior that we see where eagles are taught how to be eagles, it is a generational thing where the baby doesn't stay a baby, right? If the baby eagle stayed a baby eagle, something would be wrong. We don't see that. It's the same with you and I, guys. Whenever we come to Christ, whenever we're baby Christians, baby disciples, we don't stay babies, right? You don't stay a baby forever. You're a baby for a period of time. But you have people that are there helping you develop. We call that discipling or discipleship in the church. You have those people there that are coaching you, that are correcting you, that are helping you learn, that are there beside you. You have those people in the church. But then eventually you get to the point where you can be that for somebody else. You don't stay a baby forever. There's two stages here. Duplication stage one is doing what I have been taught. That just means whenever we learn something in God's word, whenever our discipler or our cell leader or whoever's in our life is coaching it, we listen, we do what God's word tells us to do. But then eventually you get to stage two where we're teaching what we have been taught. So we do it, but then eventually we're turning around and we're passing that on to somebody else. We're helping somebody else learn. You are now the mother eagle, quote unquote. You are the person taking care of a baby. You are the person helping somebody else develop. That's what God wants us to do. It's what He wants all of us to do. So once we've been taught, we pass it on. In 1 Thessalonians 1, Paul writes, to this church in Thessalonica, you imitated us and the Lord, talking about Jesus, and in this way, you became a model for all the believers, or for all the people of faith. Paul's saying, I came to you guys, I preached the gospel in Thessalonica, a bunch of you guys decided you wanted to jump in with both feet and follow Jesus, and so you started doing that. I stayed there, I worked with you, I showed you how to do this thing, I was with you for 2 or 3 years, and eventually you guys got to the point where you could turn around and start teaching others in the community, and I went on somewhere else, and I come back and check on you every once in a while, but you guys are a great example for everybody else in the kingdom of God, because you're doing what God designed you to do. You learned to soar like an eagle. You went through a period of development. You had the edges knocked off and the rough spots smoothed out. But now you're turning around and you're helping others do that. You're an example for everybody, is what Paul is saying here to this little church in Thessalonica. And that tradition of learning to soar and then turning around and helping others learn to soar is exactly what you and I have inherited here at our little church called The Crossings. That's the rhythm of discipleship that we see in the scriptures and that we see in our own lives. And so as we close out this morning, I just want to ask you guys, where are you at this morning? And how do you need to respond to what we've had to say here today? There's a cardstock piece of paper in your bulletin. It's called our communication card. I want to invite everybody to pull that out, members and guests alike. At the end of our lessons here, we always evaluate ourselves. Every week, we want to evaluate ourselves. We do that because whenever we open up the Word of God, guys, if we aren't intentional about applying the stuff we're learning, if we're not careful, we can get to the point where we can hear a message from the Word of God and harden our heart to what God is calling us to do. And whenever we feel convicted that we need to change something, and then we just sort of say, I'm going to ignore that this week, I'm kind of tired, it gets easier to do the next time. And then it gets easier to do the next time. Then it gets easier to do the next time. And pretty soon, we've hardened our heart to everything that maybe God has to say to us. I want to encourage you not to do that. So I want you to evaluate yourself this morning. Where are you at in terms of your relationship with God? Was there anything that was said this morning that convicted you? Maybe you're just investigating a relationship with God. Maybe you've been a member of the church here for a long time, and maybe you've just kind of gotten stale on some things. Man, what do you need prayer for? What do you need to talk with your leaders about? What do you need help with? What are you convicted about this morning? I want you to think about that, okay? Now, if you're new to the Crossings or if you're just checking things out, first, if you're a guest this morning, we really want you to know we're glad you're here. We planted this church a couple of years ago because we believe that God wants a relationship with you. We planted this church for you. We believe God wants to connect with you, and the way God works in the lives of people is often, very often, through churches like this, where you can get connected and you can get help with some things. If you're just checking out a relationship with God, indicate on your card, if you want to learn more, indicate you'd like a personal Bible study. And what a personal Bible study is it sounds formal, it's really not. We get a couple of people together, usually the person that brought you to church and maybe another friend, and they just will sit down and open up the scriptures and you read a scripture and you say, what do you think about that? And then you guys talk about it. Like, how do I apply this to my life? Well, here's what I think. What do you think? It's pretty informal. But we really encourage that because whenever you get into God's word and you start wrestling with what God has to say, man, good things always happen as a result of that because, man, God just, he knows best. If you're here this morning and you're interested in joining the church, we have, I would also encourage you to study the Bible. We study with everybody that wants to join the church because during those studies, we learn your story, we learn where you come from, we learn your background. It's a great way for us to build a relationship. It also helps us just to have some meaningful conversations about, sort of stuff that's basic to the Crossings, that's fundamental, that we want to be on the same page about. And so if you're interested in joining the Crossings, I would also encourage you to indicate that you'd like a personal Bible study. The best thing we have going here, by the way, is our small group ministry. We use small groups pretty much just to make sure every single person in here gets taken care of. I know for our adults, we meet a couple of times a month. I think the teens meet more often than that. The campus meets more often than that. But church, if you study the New Testament, primarily the church spread in the early centuries through movements from house to house. And I think the reason for that is, you know, assemblies like this are good, but whenever, if this is all you have is just this kind of assembly, you don't really build deep, intimate relationships with other people if you just have big meeting assemblies. You build relationships with people in a living room. You build relationships with people around a dinner table. You build relationships with people whenever there's dialogue and not just monologue. You know what I mean? And so we do small groups here. We require them for membership because we are structured in such a way that we want every single person to be taken care of. And the only way we can do that is if we have you plugged in with a group that's smaller where we have trained staff that can help shepherd you individually or your family. And so if you're interested in small groups, indicate on your card that you'd like to check one out. I know our adult groups are open. Mine is meeting today. I think Max's is too. So if you want to check one out, if you're an adult here today and want to check one out, you guys are welcome to come over. Mine's going to be doing a potluck right after this. So just holler at me if you're interested. If there's anything else we can help you with, there's plenty of information there on the card. You can just check it out. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to sing a song that's going to give you time to fill that card out, and then we'll sing one more song after that, and Max will give you some instructions. But let's pray, and let's fill those out, okay? God, I want to thank you for the Crossings Church. I want to thank you for the lesson we find in the eagle. Man, it is so amazing just to observe nature and to see how your wisdom is woven into the fabric of creation. And so I want to pray we can apply these lessons we learned today. God, I pray that you work in our hearts and help us take that next step to becoming the person that you always meant for us to be. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.